Praise the Lord, and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's so thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And the broadcast and the daily bread are appreciated and just good food for the soul. Good edifying, encouraging preaching of Jesus, Brother Rice. You're a true man of God who always preaches the truth with love and joy for the Lord. Just keep on preaching, as the saints do need you. And may the Lord help the saints to press on and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come is my prayer. May the Lord bless all the saints everywhere in Maranatha.
So, as always, I'll endeavor to speak plainly. Okay? It's freedom in it. You know, we really can't hide anything from God. And most of the things are not hidden from our neighbor.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Am I doing okay, brother? Okay. So I'm here, I believe, by the will of God, standing by, you know, in the authority of Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that we are all here and we all have authority to act as agents on behalf of Jesus Christ. That means we can do things in his name. It's like having power of attorney. Now, we can be faithful with that, or we can be unfaithful. We need help. All right? Yeah, we have authority to act on behalf of Jesus Christ. Yes, we do. We don't esteem it. That's because we care too much about acting on our own behalf. And because we're not fully converted, sometimes we can't distinguish the two. But we do it on our behalf while thinking that it's on Christ's behalf. Thank you, Lord. So, I was born in 1954, May 1st. Raised up on a farm, about 130 acre, had cattle and tobacco. The farm was divided by Highway 31. Part of it was on one side, part on the other side. The last of 10 children. The genders were equal. Four brothers. Five boys, five girls. Thank you, Lord. Now, I married when I was 18 years old. You too? Yeah. Janice was 17. Her mother had to sign for her. We were married for 49 years. She didn't do me wrong. No, she didn't. She really didn't make trouble for me. When I went to community, she didn't go. Of course, that was devastating. I dealt with all the pain and anguish and loneliness and whatever. I wasn't bitter. I'm not bitter. We have commandment. Now, husbands, be not bitter. That's what it says. So I'm not bitter. God has helped me with that. Whatever has happened to me, I've not been bitter. Even before I was, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, I knew that I usually got better than I deserved. I account that as grace from God. Some of us don't have that grace or won't walk in that grace. They're victims. They've always been done wrong, and somebody's always after them. Someone's always waiting in the corner to do something to them. And, oh, what a sad state. What I'm saying, what I'm doing is pouring out my heart, being naked and open before you. The whole Bible is like that. Men's lives are laid bare. All their secrets told. And that's for our edification. So I'm doing this for edification, not for justification. I am justified. freely by God's grace. Hallelujah. But I wasn't and am not bitter. There was a couple of times I sent for her, bought a plane ticket, and I went to the airport, and she wasn't there. My God, why didn't you just say you weren't going to show up? Nevertheless, I came back singing. Didn't I, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Kurt said, I thought he'd be all balled up, man. But I said, praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. And that's the way I still do it. Thank you, Lord. But I'm in repentance right now. Because I divorced her. I married another woman. I'm in repentance. So we're working out our repentance. Am I saying it right? So Rose is my sister. That's all. Everybody understand? That's all. She's my sister. I'm her pastor. I'm working out repentance. Y'all hear me talking? Praise the Lord. She's happy with it, so am I. And that's where we are. Okay? We're working out repentance. God don't like putting away. And certainly he don't like putting away and marrying another one. No, he does not. No. So we're working out repentance. God has given us grace for this. All right? Praise the Lord. You know, for Rose to take off because I'm after another woman, that don't work nothing. But if she said, you know, I want to be saved and I know you want to be saved and let's do it for the cause of Christ, then we're in agreement now. She's not, I'm in agreement. What she's doing is with my total consent and support. See, I'm telling y'all the truth. This is where we stand. But for silly stuff like you don't love me and we weren't going to do it like that. That don't mean nothing. But if you love the Lord and I love the Lord and we want to be married to him, we do it like that, I'm happy.
Amen.
I've got no regrets for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
All right? So this is where we stand. Everybody understand? Praise the Lord. So the Lord will help us. He will help you. He's a very present help. Now, of course, after the flesh, I wish I didn't have to tell all this stuff, but you know it anyway, right? Yeah, you do know. So here we are. But just so you understand that Rose is not in disobedience with what she's doing. Okay? Because she has my full consent and support. Is that everybody understand? All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I went through the pain and anguish of the separation, but at the same time, I knew that Janice couldn't come except God drew her. So, you know, I couldn't hold it against her, never did. I tried to encourage her in the Lord, not by I'll get you a new house or another. I never made any promises like that. She looked for some, but I never get because it's foolishness. If she would come, it would be because the Lord drew her to serve the Lord, not to have a fine house, because we all have fine houses, though. Thank you, Lord. And that's the same way with people coming here. I don't make any promises. If you can't esteem God's promises, then what are my promises going to do? See what I'm saying? So you just believe God's promises and that'll be enough to prompt you to do what you need to do. He's the only promise keeper. Men make promises, but they don't keep them. Thank you, Lord. So just for a little while, I won't be too long. We've got to go to town. Got to go to this telephone place. Because our phones, they try to master us. They do what they want to do. And they do. You know that. They give us the phone, but we don't have much control over them. Praise the Lord. So I may throw mine away. Hallelujah. Yeah, the world is changing day by day. And you all, most of you aren't as old as I am. A few a bit older, but you all know that things have changed drastically. Drastically. I mean, even just in the past few years. In other words, we see things every day that we've never seen before. Never seen before. And it will continue to be that way. There's always been sin in the world since Adam sinned, but we've never seen it like this. Amen. Part of the thing we struggle with is we just won't keep that in mind, how much the world have gone back on God, turned away from God, denied God, betrayed God, blasphemed God, given God the finger, and all of that. It's just blatant. And the things men used to do, at least they had some shame. No shame today. They do everything openly and defiantly. The two men will say, "Who are you to tell me we can't marry?" Well, God said so. And two women, God said so. But it's not a problem that they do it so much as they try to pass it off as righteousness. Now, this is common to man, not just homosexuals. We do stuff, that's not the big problem. The big problem is we like to pass it off as righteousness, which keeps us from acknowledging the truth or coming to repentance. So that's why Brother Stair would say, God can't save homosexuals. Well, he can't save fornicators either. Or adulterers. He saves sinners. So when we can acknowledge it's sin, then God can do away with it. That's the only way. If we don't acknowledge it as sin, it stays with us. But we spend a lot of our time calling good evil and evil good. No repentance in it, no salvation. And of course, this is our nature, but God will deliver us to save us. Hallelujah. Yeah, it used to be that righteousness and truth and loyalty and compassion and dignity, those things were rewarded. Absolutely. Not anymore. You want to get ahead. You don't need no loyalty except to the crooked boss. You don't need to follow after righteousness. You don't need to have any dignity. No, you don't. These things used to be rewarded, but now they're not. This is the world. You know I'm telling the truth. We have this wicked president, but that's because the people are wicked. He's a representative of the people. Everybody understand? And we are representatives of our God. We are his witnesses. This we need to understand and walk in. Well, we can do the other stuff, but that's not what God called us to do. God called us to witness that he is God. And the way we do that, by Christ being manifested in our life. You know, one of the most amazing things he does is forgive sin. Yes. This is our calling. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, to justify. Yes. How about that? Yes. To redeem. Yes. To give life to. Life. Yeah. To give good things to. Yes. Peace. Glory. And joy. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise his name. Everything that God has, he gives to us. Everybody understand that? Why do we complain? Again, whenever I think of heirs of God, now people would love to be heirs of Rockefellers or heirs of, but we are heirs of God. This is not because we earned it. He freely has given us. We are heirs of God. Everybody understand that? That means that he gives to us what is his because we are his children. We are his bride as well. He's suffered in the flesh for us and given us the grace that we might suffer because suffer, his sufferings, Christ's sufferings, because he endured man's sufferings. Everybody understand that? He suffered as a man so that we could suffer as Christ. We are partakers of Christ's sufferings, being made like unto him. That's why we suffer. We're being the likeness of Christ. Well, why did he suffer? In our likeness. So he suffered in our likeness so we could suffer in his likeness. That's what you call the sufferings of Christ. Now, men suffer, but there's no life in it. But if we suffer for the cause of Christ, then happy are we. Wow. Well, what are the sufferings of Christ? Well, it's when we let Christ be manifest in us. We walk as he walk and talk as he talk, and we suffer for that. That's Christ's suffering. When we're disobedient, that's not Christ's suffering. When we're lazy, slothful, mean, and bitter, that's not the sufferings of Christ. That's your own suffering. But he's called us to be partakers of his suffering because he already took part of our sufferings. And we just can't seem to come to the agreement that the stuff that we go through, he's already done it. And we like, nobody knows what I'm going through, and why don't they leave me alone, and why do they lie on me, and why do they do me wrong, and you know. Now, Jesus went through this. He came into his own. They didn't receive him. He nourished and brought up children. You nourished and brought up children? They rebelled against you? Well, God's already done that. We are part of that. So you understand. Well, Pastor Rice don't understand about my children. Well, God understands. Because here we are doing the same thing. When we look at it that way, then we can get some life. Then we can glorify God. But if you just look at your children rebelling against you, and you did all you could to raise them up, and you, God understands that. Because he says, I have nourished, raised up children, but they rebelled against me. What about his wife? Well, she dealt treacherously with him. Hey, Neil, you hear me? Oh, look at why? Oh, poor me. No. She was a harlot and unfaithful. Well, that's us. We are his bride. So as long as we understand that, when we look at our situation, we do fine. But if we just look at, why is my wife this? And why is my husband that? We don't do well. If it don't bring us to the relationship between us and Christ, it's a bunch of malarkey. Why did everybody do me wrong? Thank you, Lord. I'm saying it right now. Of course, I've said it this way before. Thank you, Lord. So we can read in the book, all the way through the book, how, the Lord suffered as we. John chapter 1, he came into his own received him not. Hebrew chapter 2, it behooved him to be made like unto his brother. See, you got it right there, don't you? You got one in Galatians, let's hear it then. The book's full of them.
It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He does know. Yeah, his suffering brought many sons to glory. And we are the sons or the children, ever how you put it. God has one son. And that's why we're sons of God. That's in Christ. Without Christ, we're nothing.
Amen.
Hmm? Philippians chapter 3. Know Jesus in the likeness of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and the fellowship of his suffering. Now that's when we suffer as Christians. That's the fellowship of his suffering. See? That's not for all of our rebellion. That's not Christ's suffering. Christ suffered for righteousness.
Amen.
When you do right and suffer, that's Christ suffered. And if you do right and suffer, then there's no complaint in it. There's no whine in it. There's no why me. No, then it's for your own sake. And it don't mean anything, don't account for anything. Can I convince you? Hallelujah. Peter said he bare our sins in his own body up on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So, our God, his wife dealt treacherously, unfaithful, rebellious. See? Forsaken by friends, betrayed, denied. Christ, he done all of this. For somehow us to elevate our little light affliction above all this is just wretched. You know, Paul said our light affliction. Well, that's exactly what they are. And even they work out for us far more exceeding, which mean that they work out something good for us. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't pull back. Don't be a partaker of this.
Yeah.
Not just if it's good to your flesh or feel good. No, no. God has given us this great honor.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know to suffer for Christ's sake is a great honor.
Yes.
It is now.
Amen.
That means we are partakers of the divine nature, of the Holy Ghost. Of the heavenly calling.
Hallelujah.
Certainly we can get up out of bed for that, huh?
Yes.
The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, when he saw what he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz. These are kings of Judah and Hezekiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. How about it? Thank you, Lord. It also says the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people do not consider that they belong to me. They don't consider that I purchased them with my own blood.
Yes.
They don't consider that because they say what they want to say. They do what they want to do. They go where they want to go. They worship how they want to worship. They seek their own.
Yes.
So they don't consider that.
Yes.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. He's talking about his people. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. There's good news. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, hallelujah, hallelujah, they shall be white as snow. Hallelujah. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus. If ye be willing and obedient, yes, ye shall, these are the conditions, yes, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword. Amen. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yes. Question is asked later on in the chapter, how has the faithful city become an harlot? See, this is God and what his people, how they've treated it. That's us. The faithful city. Amen. Remember when you were first enlightened? Mm-hmm. I do. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. Thy silver has become dross. Thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after reward. They judge not the fatherless. Neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross, take away all thy tin, and I will restore, I like it, thy judges as at the first. We're looking for restoration, Lord, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness. Again, the faithful city.
Hallelujah.
He's going to restore so that once again we'll be the faithful city.
Hallelujah.
The city of righteousness. Zion shall be redeemed. How? With judgment. And that word keeps coming up because it's just a necessary ingredient for righteousness. The righteous love judgment.
Amen.
They do. We're unrighteous when we don't accept the judgment. We are haughty when we don't accept the judgment. We are usurpers when we don't accept the judgment. No matter how much we know, how much experience we have. If the judgment is given to someone, then we need to abide by the judgment. Anything else is unrighteousness. For us to attain to righteousness, we'll have to receive the judgment. There's a judgment about all things. We do know. We know about gathering in the dining hall. We know about going to the tabernacle. We know about showing up for community tasks and making ourselves available to help others. There's a judgment. But some have not accepted judgment. Now they're going to blame me, but what can I say? I'll just read it out of the book. Righteousness come by judgment. Absolutely. And that's the only way we can attain unto it. And the righteous judge say, You're all low-down sinners. Now, when we accept that, then we're right. Otherwise, we're wrong. You can point at your neighbor and say, well, I'm not like him. No good. Just accept that we're no good. Low-down sinners deserve to die. Then we are right. Otherwise, we're wrong. Hallelujah. So our mind's not completely renewed because we don't look at judgment in the righteous way. We don't look at authority in the righteous way. We look at authority as something to manipulate and circumvent. Authority is for righteousness. See? But that's not how we say authority is against us. Paul said we have authority, but it's for your edification, not for your destruction. Well, we believe the Bible, but not that part. Because somebody going to instruct me, I'm not going to receive it. It must be against me. See? It's called double-minded. Thy princes are rebellious. Yes, help me, Jesus. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. The first thing I heard this morning was Brother Stair talking about constant divisions and squabblings by people that carry Bibles under their arms. And he spoke about things that divide, what shouldn't, baptism, baptism of by water, baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and such things. Men over anything. I've been around and they squabble over whether or not we should literally wash one another's feet. And if we do it, how? Should the brothers do the sister's feet or should? And they just look for stuff to contend over. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Baptism, probably the number one thing that men have divided themselves over. But baptism, none of the word of God is for division. Mm-mm. No. Word of God is for judgment. It's profitable. For doctrine. Reproof. Correction. Instruction in righteousness. If we receive it like that. If we look for righteousness, we'll find it. Sometimes our doctrines get in the way. We have to get rid of them. Sometimes our, you know, notions, our own carnal minds and way we like things. You all understand that everybody have things that they prefer. There are some words like, let me see, idiosyncrasies. Well, there are some others, peeves, you know, quirks. Well, whatever you call them, it just means that there are some things that affect people differently. But we all have them. And if you can be mindful of yours, then you ought to be mindful of your brothers. We don't do well. Quirks. You know, this is what, yeah, when I have a hot dog, I always have to have mustard. See? If that's the way you feel, how about your brother? When he have turkey, he need mashed potatoes. No? Oh, that's just. Now, I'm talking about y'all. See? The reason we ought to be compassionate one toward it, because we're all alike. We just won't admit that. Thank you, Lord. I'm going on in Jesus' name. So, Brother Stair's message talked about word and deed. Brother Malone sent a message along the same lines. Praise the Lord. So I got a few scriptures concerning that to bring us to the conclusion. I told you I wouldn't be long this morning. I think I've said what the Lord would have me to say. Always yield myself to do that. And again, talking about Jesus enduring all the things that we do. He came into his own and they received him not. So I do the same. Y'all see, I'm partaker in that. He sent messengers and they killed him. They didn't receive him. They disdained him. Sure, they were partakers. They were honored highly. The prophets that were killed. Yeah. Well, they haven't killed you. No, not they haven't, but I'm willing. If that's what God would want. But I don't want to say kill me so I can be exalted. You know, I'll just say thy will be done. But as far as being rejected, not received, I experienced that. And so have you.
Yes.
That's Christ's suffering. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay. So we shouldn't look for things to cause division. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Make sure you put righteousness and peace above all the other stuff. You'll make peace and you'll come to the truth. But if you put your quirk or your idiosyncrasy or your preference in the way, you won't idiosyncrasy. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Your idiosyncrasies, you won't come to the truth. You won't come to peace. You understand? Hallelujah. So I know we have them. Oh, yeah. But just don't think so highly of them. Okay. Your neighbor has them, too. Don't be condemning them. Huh? You all that live in glass houses, don't throw stones. Word indeed, because, you know, the question was, how should you baptize? In what name should you baptize? You know, well, we all know the answer, don't we? Hallelujah. But you can tell by the question where he's coming from. That's how I can tell where you're all coming from. You can tell where I'm coming from. I said, do you love the Lord? That's where I'm coming from. Then make sure you walk in obedience to glorify him. Don't make excuses not to obey God. And I see it happening. You know, if you're, you know, tied up and you're in the dungeon, then I guess you can't come. But if you're up walking around and you go where you want to go, then certainly you can come to the dining hall or to the tabernacle. Or to your brother's aid. The Bible talks about, let me find it. Y'all, wait a minute. I'm going to find it. I got it here somewhere. Y'all just, wait a minute, Ann. Were you ready when Tim showed up this morning? Huh? I'm asking you. Well. Hallelujah. Well, at least you're trying. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God. Oh, hallelujah. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord, give God the praise. What I'm talking about is coming to your brother's aid, coming to your sister's aid. This is required of us. Now, do we remember that? No, Pastor, we're too busy thinking about how they do me wrong. Okay? But whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? One unrighteous one said, am I my brother's keeper? Why did he say that? Because he was unrighteous and his brother was righteous. What was the question? He said, where is Abel? am I my brother? What haughtiness? Huh? What blasphemy? right in the face of God. Amen. Now be careful. Y'all be careful. This is just to show us how it looks. Because the way we do things and we don't understand how God perceives them, how they look to God. We just look at it from our own eyes and we say, well, me being haughty and disobedient and rebellious, really not a problem. Look at all the wicked folk around here. See, and come on, can you imagine somebody replying to God? Am I my brother's keeper? Simple question, where is Abel? Now, he knew where Abel was. You know that, don't you? So I suppose our response is such, it's the same reason. We're wicked like the Cain guy. See? Otherwise, our response would be different.
Amen.
Well, the answer is, yes, we are our brother's keeper. So we should come to each other's aid. Use hospitality. Same thing. Of course, we don't put that up there with adultery because, you know, man, we not come to our brother's aid. That's not a problem. I don't commit adultery. You lie about that, too. See? But anyway, we are helpers one of another. Well, not just by lip service, not only in word. See? Indeed. Because that's what's after that. That's what comes after that. He said, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Next verse say, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So yeah, I love my neighbor. Well, where are you when your neighbor needs help? Huh? Where are you? Huh? Do you seek him out and say, how can I help you today, brother? Do you give him a smile of a word of encouragement? Huh? Do you somehow try to confirm him, or do you just, you know, say, there is somebody here to serve me. I'm not here to serve them. And they need to be careful about how they deal with me. Because if they put me on the schedule too much, I'm going to tell them about it. If they require me to do something, if they ask me, I'm going to refuse. You know, there's some here, whatever you ask them to do, they won't do it. Of course, they're justified in it, right? Thank you, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. You know, us doing what's asked of us beats all of us doing what we want to do. You understand? Here's how we do it. Brother, can you do this? No, Pastor Rice. And then you go do something else. Now, what do you think God would accept? See what we, well, Pastor Rice, you preach it like that, but we're going to live it the way. Absolutely. See, I'm partakers of Christ's sufferings. See what I mean? See what I mean? Now, it's the truth. You can do nothing against it, but you're not going to do it. See what I'm saying? And you think God's pleased with that. No matter what I say, I can't provoke you. God's pleased with me doing what I want to do. God's pleased with us given what he requires. So if he say mop the floor and we wash the windows, then God, we don't care how good we wash it. God don't accept it. Is it go to the tabernacle, we go to the wood pile? Well, it's just all in vain as far as offering to God. You understand that. We are helpers one of another. We're laborers together. These are words out of this is God's word. We minister to the saints and do minister. And God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love as we have ministered to the saints and do minister. Well, that mean it cost us. If we only do what we feel like, what we want to, we don't do much ministry except to our own selves. Just understand that. Hallelujah. Now, some have the right attitude. You know, what are you going to do? Well, whatever the Lord would have me to do. Some already have their plans. And, brother, it's locked in. You know that, don't you? You do better to change the Constitution. No, that whatever they decide, it's not flexible. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. to help our brother, our neighbor, then it costs us. And that's why we don't want to do it. For us to give what we want to give doesn't cost anything. And, of course, it's not. I'm saying the same thing. If God would accept it, it would be what he requires. Huh? Or go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, I'm going to go wash in the Jordan. See? Go dip in the Jordan. Well, I'm going to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I'm taking this out of the book. I see. Well, it don't mean anything, does it? No, I'm going to do what I want to do. Exactly. That means those scriptures mean nothing to you. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Well, I'm going to remember the first day. And dare you to say anything about it? Who are you to judge another man, sir? Huh? See? Well, either he said it or he didn't say it. But what the rebellious do, they take Romans 14 and they say that he took it back. God never taken back anything. His word's immutable. Remember the Sabbath day. And I'm amazed how many times when Brother Stair preach, you know, he preach about giving all, and he talk about, even this morning when he was talking about the divisions with the baptism, he talked about how they hold to their Christmas and Easter and pagan holidays. See? That's not scriptural. And you tell somebody that. You won't get it done. No, you won't. They're giving over to a reprobate mind. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Savior, holy, holy. Oh, God. Well, what does the Bible say about divisions? Oh, I see. I guess God took that back too, huh? Or maybe that was just Paul talking. It wasn't inspired of God, right? Huh? Oh, I see. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Well, y'all, let me tell you what it is now. Let there be no divisions among you. I would that y'all speak the same thing. Let there be no divisions among you. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Well, Pastor, why don't you prophesy to us? I can do it. Huh? Praise the Lord. I do it every day. If we keep walking contrary, we'll lift our eyes up in hell. Absolutely. Oh, we keep doing what we want to do. We will hear him say, depart from me. That's my prophecy. I get it right out of the book. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to get to the end of this. In the name of Jesus. Give God the praise. Praise the Lord. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, this is Jesus showed up when these two was walking down the road on the way to Emmaus, Luke 24. And he said, what manner of conversation is this that you all are having as you walk and are sad? He said, man, you don't know. They put me on the schedule. Hey, man, they require me to come through the tabernacle. Oh, I like the way I do it. Y'all hear me preaching? I can tie it in, can't I? I have grace to do it. I said, man, you don't know why we're sad. You don't know what's going on here. You don't know how Pastor Wright tried to rule over us. Huh? Oh. Woo! Glory, glory. You don't know why I don't smile. You must be a stranger here. That's what they said. They did say that. They said, man, you must be a stranger. You don't know what's been going on. That's what they say. You don't know what's been going on. He said, what things? They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Not only in deed, but in word, not only in word, but in deed. The word of God lived the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, the result of that, of course, was the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But, you know, Jesus finally gets to the point saying, man, that's nothing to be sad over. Ought not Christ have suffered? Well, if he's, ought not you to have suffered? Huh? So that we can enter into his glory. Well, Pastor Rice, I don't care how you talk about that suffering. We're just not going to receive it like you preach it. What can I say? What can I say? All the suffering is against me. Well, when you suffer for the unrighteousness, it's against you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise his holy name. But Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart. Slow to believe all that the prophets have said. You know, they told you about this. That the Son of Man was going to suffer. Be crucified. Yes. But on the third day, it's going to be raised from the dead. And he brought to their understanding that that's what had happened. They crucified me, but here I am. I'm walking with you. I'm talking with you. He sat down and broke bread with them. They said, my, did our hearts burn within us. As he sat with us and ate with us and opened up the scriptures unto us. Woo! But he did it through suffering. And of course, God raised him up. He's alive forevermore. All before him, and there were others raised from the dead, not like Christ. Amen. Not let Christ is the first fruit. Amen. He's the only one raised from the dead, never to die again, Amen. To live forever. Amen. Christ. Amen. Now he's the first fruit. That means that we will partake of the same. Sin won't get us down. The grave won't hold us. Hallelujah. We'll be raised just like Christ to live forever. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Acts 7 says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in word and deed. Mighty in words and in deed. He still took a lot of flack. They didn't treat him so well. But, of course, it was the sufferings of Christ. Y'all understand? That which they did to Moses, he was standing in the gap and being the Christ to them? Absolutely. Moses didn't send himself. God found him and said, hey, Moses, go down there. And Moses, in righteousness and faithfulness and obedience, got up and went where God told him and did what God told him to do. Y'all see his reward, don't you? It's the reward that God gives. You know, all that Christ does for us, that's what the people did to Moses. That made him a partaker of Christ's suffering. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He was up in the palace. He said, I'm going to go down and see my brethren. Of course, they were fighting among themselves. Y'all believe that? And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. Now do understand that God gave Moses the word, the revelation, long before that they would be in bondage. Told him how long. And told them that after the bondage, they would be delivered. So they knew this. This was passed down. That's why God told it to Moses. And he told the generation, it was passed on through generation. Finally, they found themselves there. But as it was passed down, they also knew that God would get them out. And that was their prayer. God, deliver us from this bondage, from this cruel bondage. And when God appeared to Moses in the form of the angel of God, out of the bush that was burning but was not consumed, that got Moses' attention. He turned aside and said, let me see this sight. Amen. Then God spoke to him. Yeah. I've got a message for you. Amen. That's close enough. You can't come when we take them shoes off. This is holy ground. Yes, I've heard the cry of my people. I've seen their affliction. Mm-hmm. Now I'm come down to deliver them. You tell them. That was Moses. What a wonderful message. Amen. Of course, they received it and on with joy. But soon after, Moses, why didn't you just leave us alone? Amen. But remember, at first with a nod. Once he finally convinced them, he did the miracles that God told him he would do. And they said, okay, he's the man.
Yes.
Didn't last very long.
No.
Oh, yeah, he's the prophet. I believe everything he say, and this and that and such. I saw the light. I saw the cloud. And then, no, I don't know anything about that. Y'all, we haven't seen that here in this ministry. Brother Silver said, I don't know how many men have come here, say they got the witness, have held up my hand, and all of a sudden they leave. Well, lots of men have. And we're only here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Only by God's grace. We are no better. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. But he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Paul in Romans 15 say, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Speaking of the Gentiles. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letter when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Because we're the same in word as in deed. Praise the Lord. And I say the same thing. As I preach it here right now in front of God and everybody, if you get me in a corner, I'll tell you the same thing.
Amen.
I will.
Amen.
So if you don't believe me now, you won't believe me then. I'll tell it the same way now, then as I tell it now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Christ is the standard. Righteousness is the standard. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But the things that are in our measure, we're going to boast.
Amen.
But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doubtless to you, I'm a servant of God.
Amen.
No matter what they say over there,
true.
Doubtless to you,
yes.
I'm sent by God.
Yes.
Doubtless to you, I'm a man that that feeds you with knowledge and understanding. See? Maybe not. Hallelujah. God has distributed to us a measure even to reach unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we have come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. When your faith is increased.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Thank you, Lord. When your faith is increased, the whole body prospers. Absolutely. That we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. You know, things that other men have done, labors that they've done and we enter into. We're not going to try to take the credit for that. Well, we're going to take advantage of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So rightfully, Brother Neil gave the glory to God. Absolutely. Yeah, he's the healer. He's the Savior. He's the author of faith, and he's a God that giveth grace. Hallelujah. He's the healer and the deliverer. Praise the Lord. So to give God the glory is the righteous thing to do. For let not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So we're wise to seek the honor that comes from God only. The Pharisees, they sought the honor of men and the praise of men. There were some that wouldn't speak the truth because they thought they might be put out of the tabernacle. Huh? Pray or ain't gonna talk to you no more. Yeah. Well, so be it. Praise the Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. But the Lord does honor us. Yeah, he commendeth those that deserve commendation. Or at the same time, he reproves those that need reproving. And chasten those that need chastening. Because he's righteous. When we just hear God say, well done, and not tell us about the not well done? Or is it we have no not well done? All of ours is well done. Is that how it is? Then I guess we're all ready to go. Huh? No need for us to be here. Hallelujah. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. Let another man praise thee. But whom the Lord commendeth. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means do it in the authority. By the authority of Jesus. Not saying, well, I'm going to go to the shop in Jesus' name. I'm going to pull the transmission in Jesus' name. Not like that. Just do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that has to do with the purpose and intent of the heart. We can do the right things and not do them in Jesus' name. You know, and what do you... When we do it to puff ourselves up, show that we're not like the other person, or to in your face, Pastor Wright, see? That's not for the glory of God. And they do it in my face. They take pleasure in it. Absolutely. You know, Pastor Wright, he admonish us and instruct us to do such and such, but I don't do it. That's in my face. Absolutely. Y'all don't know what I'm saying. In your face means it's that I don't care if you're looking at me. Here, whack. That's what in your face means, in case y'all don't know. It's not like, well, you know. No, it's blatant. Huh? Right. So they do in my face all the time. Thank you, Lord. But I'm a partaker of Christ's suffering. The only reason they in my face is because I yield to God. If it was for some other reason, it would profit me nothing. Hallelujah. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Hallelujah. This we covered, but we'll do it again. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, diatrophies, and not content therewith.
Right.
Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Titus 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God. How many do that? Y'all won't even raise your hand. Brother Malone, you profess to know God? Okay. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient. Disobedient. That means we have instruction, but we don't do them. That's what disobedience is. We can't be disobedient without instruction. Okay? Since we're disobedient, that means we fail to heed the instruction. That's what makes for disobedience. Hallelujah. And unto every good work, reprobate. When we're disobedient, we're just disobedient. We can't please God in that state. We can repent. Or if God will peradventure give us repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Thank you, Lord. All right, to the pure, God will show himself pure to the froward. He shows himself froward. And Brother Edward gave a perfect testimony concerning that one time. Y'all remember that. And you know how God raised up somebody to help dress him out. Of course, he didn't realize it at the time, and you know, but nevertheless, now you understand that all these things happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. So we give God the glory. We give God the praise. I've been honest this morning. I've covered lots of ground, especially about marriage. Absolutely. Yeah, when we speak of marriage, what should come into our mind is Jesus Christ and us. And we should just judge everything and base everything according to us being married to Christ. Then we'll be okay. If we do otherwise, we'll be balled up. Okay? Hallelujah. I had a little talk with Diane the other day, and I said, yeah, the only happy marriage I'm concerned about is me and Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I think Rose is of the same mind, so we're happy in Jesus. You happy in Jesus? Amen. All right. Lord bless you, saints. Brother Edward, can you pray for us? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Father God, first, Lord God, I confess, Lord God, that you are doing a perfect work. Yes, Lord, to save your people. And Heavenly Father, as you, Pastor, just mentioned that you had already told your people 400 years earlier or more, whatever, what was going to come become of them, you and your faithfulness have told us what we would partake of.
Amen, brother.
And so that we would not be offended when these things come about. And Lord God, you and your divine, your omniscience, Lord God, you and your knowing all things, Lord, you had, I believe, just recently, somebody call in and ask us, why don't you play the old broadcast? And Pastor Rice recognized that that was you speaking in a way. And since then, we've been hearing some old archives. And what a blessing they are.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm hearing things that I thought I had heard, but really didn't hear. And one of the things I heard just the other night or day was Brother Stair reminding the body of Christ that we would experience strange things.
Amen, brother.
And we are the generation of your people that has been chosen for this. And that's why you said, think it not strange, because
Amen.
The things are strange. And boy, God, did he go into detail. But it's so true. We are experiencing strange acts, strange emotions, strange deeds, strange doings. Everything is just strange. Things that, as we just heard again, we've never seen this before.
Amen, brother.
So we don't really know how to react because we've never seen this before. But knowing your word and remembering your word and having you bring your word to our remembrance, we do know how to respond. We respond by saying, yes, Lord.
Amen, brother.
Have thine own way.
Have thine own way.
Have thine own way. Your wisdom is far above ours. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. Our ways are not your ways. And Lord God, you told us that these things would be so that because you are trying your people as by fire. And it's designed to be that way. It's designed for this because the fire is what is going to purify your people, because it's going to force us into a position where we have to believe your word.
Hallelujah.
It's either sink or swim. There's no in between. Either you're God or you're not. Either you're sovereign in all things or you're not.
Amen, brother.
Either you have chosen by the foolishness of preaching, either you have sent the preacher, either you have raised a man up to lead your people, or you have not.
True, Lord.
It's that simple. And regardless of what we see or what we hear or what we think, either you're God or you're not.
Amen, brother.
So we can rest in the very fact, the truth that, Lord, you are God. And we are your people. And we are your people. And Father God, I know for time's sake, I won't give a testimony right now, but I do have a testimony.
We have time, brother.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, Father, how can I lead into this? I guess for the sake of, I see the faces and I know the heart, and I know that there's rocking and reeling going on right now. There's some rocking and reeling. As, you know, as we do as people trying to make sense of all of this. And God, maybe hopefully I can encourage, to remind myself and to encourage us, the body, that this is not new. You, Father God, have systematically orchestrated events in our Christian journey, and especially since we came to this ministry. that is designed by you for the purpose of keeping those who are to be kept and weeding out those who are to be weeded out.
True, Lord.
It's just that simple. And Lord, I've seen the man of God, I've seen Brother Stair. You allowed him to be in situations and that every time, every single time, it caused some to flee and it caused others to gather.
True, Lord.
And because the ones that did not weather through that storm, because they couldn't make sense of it with their human understanding and with their religious beliefs and their doctrinal uprightness, they just couldn't grasp that this could be God. But we learned by the fact that you kept us.
Thank you, Lord.
That it was designed for that purpose.
True, Lord.
So my prayer, Father God, is for us to remember that you have always allowed your servants in situations that would boggle the human mind.
True, Lord.
That everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That the things that cannot be shaken remain.
Glory.
And the things that cannot be shaken is that you are God. We are your people.
Hallelujah.
This is the work of God.
Lord.
And we are to believe on him whom you have sent.
Hallelujah.
Whether we understand or not. And that is our longevity.
Thank you, Father.
That is our longevity. And Father God, I give a testimony as briefly as I possibly can. When I came to this ministry, Lord, you brought me, you simultaneously. I was getting married for the third time. And I heard Brother Stair at the same time. Both events happened simultaneously. And there I was. And she was a beautiful woman, outwardly. And when I came to this ministry, Lord God, well, my marriage to that woman was a result of me going through some hell in my life, not knowing which way to turn and looking for relief, but looking for to do it in righteousness. And I was in a state in my life. This is me, my personal testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
I was very, 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 very disoriented and vulnerable. And at that time, by your allowance, this nurse just all of a sudden appeared and come after me with, whoo, Lord. And at that time, Lord, you remember, I was already in so much disarray and turmoil and fear that my own salvation was in jeopardy, that I didn't want to do anything crazy. I was even contemplating going back to my first wife, because I believed I'd done her so wrong. And I didn't know whether it was right or wrong to do. I just felt that I needed to make it right. And thank you, God, that you showed me that that wasn't right.
Thank you, Lord.
Before I did that. But still, I didn't want to end up living a life of fornication with this woman that was coming after me like that. So I figured the thing to do was to marry her. so that I would not. And when we did, I believed at first she was, well, she talked like a Christian. She had the right, all the words, not all the words, but she had, you know, she had a form of godliness. And so I did. Well, it didn't take long to realize that that was not the thing to do. What I needed to do at that time was to allow you to bring me to you closer.
Hallelujah.
And closer and closer to where I would no longer look to things of this life for my spiritual sustenance.
Thank you, Lord.
And because there is no spiritual sustenance in anything in this life, no matter what it is. It can only come from you.
Thank you, Lord.
And you asked me one morning when I opened that Bible, you said, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Because that had plagued me ever since I was, God, a teenager, 16 years old, 17 years old. But to make a long story short, my testimony is that God is a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
He knows our path. He knows the path that we take. And he is determined to save us.
Thank you, Lord. He does
deliver us.
Amen, brother.
And we are, and he's delivered every one of us out of situations that had not been for the hand of God, we would never have been delivered.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we ought not despise God's deliverance of anybody from any situation. We ought not despise God when he makes a wrong right.
Hallelujah.
Because that's what he has to do to save every one of us. And he has doing it, and he's doing it right now.
Thank you, Father.
Even today.
Today.
And how you got me out of that, Lord God, was absolutely amazing. Because the end of it was, once we both knew, and definitely I knew, because I was the believer in that relationship. Others have different variations of their situations. But once you let us know that that was not the way we should have taken, Father, I began to seek you with all of my heart, and that was your doing.
Hallelujah.
Because I needed to know how to make this right, not just get me out of it, but how to make this right. And Lord God, you did it. You said, I'll make it right.
Thank you, Lord.
And you did. And you did it in the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
And the only one that understood that really at the time was me, because I was the one in the situation.
Hallelujah.
Now to others looking in, they probably didn't see any righteousness in it at all. But you've told us over and over again that your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's the having gone about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. And God, when you do things, it's right simply because you do it.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to understand. We don't have to be able to explain it.
Thank you, Lord.
We just need to believe it. If you do it, it's right.
Truth, Lord.
No matter what it looks like.
Hallelujah.
It didn't look right that Moses married an Ethiopian.
Amen, brother.
Didn't look right. And he was despised because of it. On down the line. On. Didn't look right that Hosea married a harlot. On and on and on. Didn't look right that one of the prophets stripped off his clothes and got naked.
Thank you, Lord.
Before the people. Didn't look right. On and on and on and on and on.
Thank you, Lord.
And when Brother Stair himself, you know, Lord God, hopefully this will encourage us and help us to stand fast, because all kinds of reactions will come from the things that you are allowing to transpire. But I remember watching when the man of God, when you did your operation that I'm describing right now, that was designed to try us as by fire.
Thank you, Lord.
To see what was in our hearts, to see who would stand, who would believe you, no matter what. When he confessed his sin before the people, I saw the rocking and the reeling.
Yes, Lord.
And even I was rocking and reeling.
Thank you, Lord.
But I noticed that his confession brought about despite and disdain, but what brought about more despite and more disdain than his sin was the fact that the man kept preaching. Hallelujah. With authority.
Hallelujah.
And power.
Yes, Lord.
Truth. He never backed up.
Thank you, Father.
And he was expected to come sniveling and crying and bawling and saying, oh, he was expected to come here with his hat in his hand as though now he owed us something.
Thank you, Lord.
And that he ought to step down. But when he didn't do it that way at all, he came with the same conviction.
Hallelujah.
And anointing.
Yes, Lord.
And fire and authority.
Yes, Lord.
And power in his words. That caused more disdain and more hatred than he sinned. And why did you let that happen, Lord, so that we would learn these things? All these things happen for the furtherance of the gospel.
Truth, Lord.
And here we are again. And it's going to be continuous.
Truth, Lord.
It's going to be continuous. He told us that the trials that we go through as a body and individual, they're going to get more and more and more intense. As we go on, we get through this. Huh. That's preparing us to go through the next one. That's going to be greater than this.
Amen.
And if we just submit, believe that you're God, know that you do all things well, know that you do right regardless of what we do.
True, Lord.
We will see. We will eat the good of the land.
Amen.
We will eat the good of the land. And that's the only reason why us that are here now are still here. Because you and your grace gave us the fortitude. Somehow you gave us enough faith.
Hallelujah.
To continue to believe that this is your work.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you. And I thank you that you are still in the business of deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
You're still in the business of making wrongs right.
Amen.
Because if you ever stop making wrongs right, we are all damned.
Truth, Lord.
The wrongs we will commit even today, we need you to make them right.
Amen, Lord.
And without you, we can do nothing. So thank you, Heavenly Father,
thank
God,
you,
for being such a wonderful, loving God of mercy and grace, Lord God. And we can begin to see through these things that when the outside critics and the scorners and the mockers, when they mock us for the things that God is doing with us, Lord God, we can stand true. We can stand firm in the very fact that we trust in you.
Yes.
And we know that you are God and you are doing right. And you will always do right. And this is what will prove. We always wonder how will, I always wondered that. How will all men know that we are your disciples, Lord?
Hallelujah.
How can all men know that? When they look and see the things that we go through, and yet we still stick together.
Hallelujah.
And we still seek the Lord. We still proclaim that you are God and that we are brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Lord.
And we still love one another.
Hallelujah.
Care for one another. Protect one another.
Thank you, Lord.
Confirm one another.
Hallelujah.
This is how all men will know that we are your disciples. By our love, one to another. So thank you, Father God, for giving the man of God the courage and the faith and the trust in you to acknowledge that he's in repentance.
Hallelujah.
That is what you are really doing. You are leading us into repentance.
Hallelujah.
And to lead us into repentance takes a leader. We have to be led into it.
Thank you, Lord.
You took Brother Stan to repentance to lead us into repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father God, may we help us, Lord. Help us to put you in all of this. Just as he talked about the marriage. Look at it in the terms of God. Put God in this. Help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
We thank you for it, and we pray that you bless Pastor Rice. Bless Sister Rose, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Bless the body of Christ.
Do it, Lord.
Because you watch. Just as you did with Brother Stair, this will give several of your people the courage now to repent of their wrongs that they were afraid to repent of.
Hallelujah.
Afraid to confess. It did it for me with Brother Stair, that's for sure.
Hallelujah.
And it'll give all of us an inspiration to repent, trusting that you are working it all out for our good. You're not trying to destroy us.
Amen.
That's not why you came. You came to save us, your people, from their sins. So may we all follow him, Pastor Rice, Brother Stair, all the men of God.
Thank you, Lord.
May we follow them as they follow Christ. We bless you for this, Lord, and we ask you for it and believe you for it. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Edward, for praying for us. God bless you, precious saints. All hearts and minds clear. Is there something else that needs to be said? All right. Maranatha, saints, the Lord is coming.